This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Friday, March 29th, 2024. I'm Caleb Brown. As Donald Trump seeks a second term, there is an effort underway to make it easier for the president to fire rank-and-file executive agency employees. The idea is that the former Trump administration had a hard time executing on its agenda because of career bureaucrats. Tom Fiery is a managing editor at Regulation Magazine. He explains why Team Trump will probably have a rude awakening about how regulation gets done if they do indeed get the power to easily fire more bureaucrats. Years ago, I read a very slim book called Plunkett of Tammany Hall, and it sort of details the patronage system in sort of really raw form. It explains, look, you got to get their guys out, and after you win the election, you get your guys in. And maybe they don't know everything they need to know about geothermal energy or whatever job you're putting them into in government. But by gar, they're your people. And that's how you pay them back. They call it patronage or spoils. And it seemed like a really clear explanation of this is how it works. And at first blush, you might think that former President Donald Trump pushing an agenda that would give him, as president, the authority to simply fire a swath of federal bureaucrats on a whim, not being protected by federal civil service protections, that would be an attempt to reimpose that kind of system.
There is a romantic notion, believe it or not, of the old spoils system that, like you said, pushed the other people out, get my people in, committed to my agenda that I was elected on, that the voters said they want, and make it happen. The downside is usually when you bring all those people in, they're people who you have political debts to, or they're people who don't really know what they're doing. Either they don't really understand the policies they're implementing or the government machinery that they're operating, or they don't care about the laws and the policies, and they just do what the political chieftain says. And in the United States, you know, we're a country of laws, not men. That is a very bad idea. It's an opportunity for all sorts of government expansion into people's lives. It's an opportunity for all sorts of corruption. In Trump's case specifically, he seems to hold a grudge that somehow the bureaucracy obstructed his agenda in his presidency. And to some extent, that's true, but they did it because by law, by federal civil service procedures, by the mandates of the court system, they have to do things in certain ways, or else it ultimately gets thrown out. And they are following those laws, those rules, those guidelines in order to accomplish what they're trying to accomplish. And that's part of the reason why Trump's first administration, despite all the rhetoric, really didn't have very many policy accomplishments. It wasn't so much even that the bureaucracy was obstructing him, it's that the things that he did sort of push through ended up being so poorly executed in accordance with the laws and the procedures that courts threw it out. Some of the examples being attempts to cut back on the Clean Water Act and immigration controls.
Whether or not he is operating under a incorrect assumption about what he would be able to do if he were to eliminate and replace a lot of people in the federal bureaucracy, what is it about the federal bureaucracy himself that he doesn't seem to appreciate?
There's a very naive view of the federal bureaucracy, mostly on the political left, but now growing on the political right, that the workers there either are or ought to be altruistic servants of the people. That is, they have no self-interest. They are out there doing what they are, purely focusing on what is best for America. And about 60 years ago, a different view of the bureaucracy came along called public choice theory, of which several people affiliated with Cato have been central figures in the development of, that said, no, public employees, government workers are the same as the rest of us. We all have self-interest and we're following them. That doesn't mean that public employees are some sort of evil, malevolent creatures that are only interested in themselves. It's just that, like the rest of us, they want to have jobs that they like, they want to keep those jobs, and they want to progress and be rewarded for the work they do. Trump seems to not understand that the main reason they take so long to put a policy in place is because that's what the law tells them to do. That's what the civil service rules and procedures tell them to do. And so when he comes in, I guess thinking that he can operate the government like he operated the Trump Organization, that is, he just says, make it so, and it happens, it immediately happens. But these rules, these laws, these procedures were put in place to keep any president, left-wing, right-wing, progressive, conservative, whatever, from just steamrolling over the Constitution, steamrolling over laws that have been written and in place for decades. And, you know, for him, I think that's a hard thing to understand, but this is a very important protection for all of us.
This plan, such as it is known, I guess, as Schedule F. What does that mean, and who is actively behind it?
Schedule F originally came about in the last year or so of the Trump administration. There was a realization that there is written into law that public employees who contribute directly to policymaking are not protected employees. They are exempted. And this has always been considered to be a rather limited number of employees. And the thing is, it's still a large number of employees. There's about 4,000, a little over 4,000 employees that the president can insert into the bureaucracy across the federal government in order to get his agenda across. Unfortunately, Trump never took very much advantage of that. He never had more than about two-thirds of those positions filled at any one time. But he seems to think that if I can just, you know, fire and hire more employees, then I'll be able to get my agenda across, even though he had trouble, you know, installing the ones that he did. So anyway, going back to your question, you know, what exactly is Schedule F? It says that department appointees can petition the Office of Management and Budget to say, hey, this particular position that's currently career civil service is really a policymaking position, and we should be able to insert an exempted employee into there. And an exempted employee means one that Trump gets to insert that's not a career civil service employee. And so the last 3 months of Trump's administration, he put this into place by executive order, but then he never took advantage of it. No one ever actually got reclassified as an exempted service or exempted from civil service requirements. So again, it's unclear exactly why he thinks and the other supporters of Schedule F seem to think this would be an important change in the federal government, because, you know, at least in Trump's 2017 to 2020 presidency, he didn't take much advantage of it.
You mentioned that this is sort of a naive view. And of course, public choice since the early 1960s has been growing, and our appreciation for the fact that government bureaucracy functions largely the same way as any bureaucracy, that individuals involved respond to incentives, they want their budgets to be larger. Cato's longtime chairman, William Niskanen, wrote an important book in that field, Bureaucracy. And worth noting, as I always do, he wrote that book while he was working in the Pentagon. So even in the Pentagon, the bureaucracy functions largely the same way it does in any other federal department, which functions in many ways very substantially similar to ways that a corporate bureaucracy or any other kind of bureaucracy functions. And you would hope that there would be some awareness of this. I would suspect that people who've been in government a long time understand this implicitly.
As someone who's worked in state and federal government for some brief periods early in my career, I didn't magically change from an altruistic human being to a malevolent, selfish human being when I left government employment, nor did I dramatically, you know, morally change when I went back in. Public workers are just like private workers, and that we do care about our jobs, and we care about them for a number of different reasons. We care out of personal ethics. We care because we may just really believe in the company. Like here at Cato, we very much believe in the institution. But still, this is a job for government workers, just like everyone else. They want to keep their jobs, they want to keep their income, and they want their jobs to be pleasant. Again, just like everyone else, and who can blame them? And the way they're to do that is to follow the rules and the laws that have been set out. And that's the way we should want it to be. We really don't want government employees out there freelancing. In fact, that's supposed to be the Trump criticism of the bureaucracy. They're out there pursuing their own interests. Well, no, they're out there following the rules that have been put in place for decades because it is in their self-interest to follow those rules in order to keep their jobs.
We would think that our friends up the street at the Heritage Foundation would be well apprised of the development of public choice and how helpful it has been to clarify our understanding of how governments function, and that individuals within government respond to incentives the same way everybody else does. But they are one of the groups that is trying to advance this?
Correct. The story that you read in the press that's not entirely accurate is that there is this mass coordinated effort by the Heritage Foundation and several kind of Trump-leaning groups like America's First Policy Institute and whatnot, that they are assembling a roster of tens of thousands of quote-unquote shock troops, to borrow Steve Bannon's term, ready to parachute into government in the first days of the Trump administration to help execute his agenda. But a more careful look at what they're doing, it doesn't seem to be all that well-coordinated or even particularly welcomed by Donald Trump. Each institute, each of these groups seems to be trying to put together what is the equivalent of a LinkedIn of people who claim to like and support President Trump, claim to be loyal to him and his agenda, who currently are not in government, who do not have interest in becoming career government employees. And the idea is these rosters, you know, Trump can turn to start dropping these people into place. But these different groups are competing between each other in assembling these rosters. It's unclear exactly how well vetted they are. And not to mention, I'm not sure the wisdom of picking people who are inexperienced in government and inexperienced in policy to try to execute policy. It's like, giving my 8-year-old the keys to the car and say, going to the supermarket. You know, he's obviously going to be overwhelmed. But one other interesting thing is Trump's top two campaign people, the names escape me at the moment, but they have put out not one, but two different statements distancing themselves from these efforts and these rosters. And I can kind of understand that. I suspect that Donald Trump feels a bit burnt by the advice that he received on hiring during his presidency. Think of the Federalist Society and the judges that he appointed, and then those judges turn around and lo and behold, they said they were going to follow the law and the facts. And when Trump said, oh, my re-election was rigged, or non-re-election was rigged, they said, but the facts and the law don't support this. So Trump probably feels very burned by inserting these people who are dedicated to the law and the Constitution. And so he probably feels like he will be burned if he trusts these other groups and the people that they want to put before him.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea, the notion of putting a bunch of people who may have very little, if any, experience in government. Their primary qualification, at least at this point, would be loyalty to whatever the Trump agenda might be, and then are placed in a position where they have some levers to pull, expecting them to know which ones to pull in order to advance that agenda is maybe a very tall order.
And, you know, if we look at the details of Schedule F, there was never a clear explanation of how many people might fall under this category. The numbers I saw was anywhere between 5,000 and 50,000, but the federal government is over 2.1 million people. So even if you take full advantage of that and drop in 50,000 people, you know, that's only a couple percent of the entire federal government, and everyone else is still going to be following the rules of civil procedure. They're still going to be following the statutes established by Congress. They're still going to be following the orders of courts, you know, because that's how they keep their jobs. So these people who have no experience and are getting dropped in, and they're supposed to be mid-level managers, they're not even supposed to be at the top of the bureaucracy, they're going to be useless.
Tom Fiery is managing editor of Regulation Magazine. Subscribe to and rate the Cato Daily Podcast wherever you please. And thank you for listening.